Let's hear a Bible tonight and go to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I don't take lightly tonight preaching at all. I really don't. I don't take preaching lightly. And what I'm going to preach tonight, I don't take it lightly either. And as I studied this, I just made sure this is what the Lord wanted tonight. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this evening if you would. And we're going to read in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. Good to see everybody here tonight. What a joy it is, and that to be in the Lord's house. Had a wonderful time this morning. Brother Howard, I hope he was telling the truth. He said that was such powerful preaching this morning that he was even confessing things he hadn't done. And amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate kind words about the preaching. I always do. And I do pray that the preaching is always a help. And don't want it to be a hindrance. But let's look in verse 1, Genesis 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, but that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. So it's just like the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. This is for the very first time you find that word sinners in the Bible. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelled in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, help us now. I pray that you would touch in this message. I pray that you'd give us a good clarity of mind and good clarity of speech. I pray that you'd just touch us now for a little while. Help the one that needs help. Save the one that needs saving. I pray you'd anoint us afresh, and that from heaven. And Lord, I just pray that you'd touch now. Can't ask you for enough help tonight. And Lord, I just pray you'd move. Move upon your people, and we'll thank you for it. Thank you for the good singing tonight. Pray it blessed and honored your name. Help us now. Save that sinner's nearest tail for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I studied this, I started back in chapter 12 when I started studying, and I read and I read and I read, and I said, Lord, now what do you want me to preach on? about Abraham or about Abram. And I thought I was going to get to preach on Lot. I thought, well, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And the more that I talked to the Lord, the more he just kept putting me toward Abram, putting me toward Abram. And so here we are in chapter 13. And what's happened now is God has called Abram up out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, out of Haran. And you'll find in chapter 12 that the Lord said over here, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And so God calls Abram, and Abram goes, but he takes Lot with him. Now, I'm not sure. I've heard a lot of preaching on that over the years. I'm not sure whether Lot was supposed to go or not. At the best, maybe he was supposed to go. At the worst, he wasn't, because he said, get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house. I don't know whether Lot was supposed to go, but I do know this, that when Lot went, that created some problems. I do know that. I'm going to look at that here in a minute. But notice that when Lot finally left, there in verse 14, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. And God begins to show him the land that he's going to have. And even though, now let me say this, because it's going to come to play here in a minute. Even though Lot and Abram was separated one from another, Abraham still cared for Lot. You'll find in a few chapters that when Lot was carried off, I believe it is in the very next chapter, that Lot is carried off by another king, and they're at war. Some of them are at war with these other kings. You'll find Lot's carried off, and somebody tells Abram, and so he goes with his trained men and goes and gets Lot and brings him back. And you'll find when God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you're going to find that Abraham interceded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, because I believe that's where Lot and his family was. As a matter of fact, he got all the way down to 10 and said, Lord, if you just find 10 righteous people there, would you spare it? And he said, I'll spare it. That's kind of scary that he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't find 10 righteous people. You realize that he got Lot and his wife and two of his daughters out. His wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. You'll find that him and his daughters ended up committing incest in a cave over there. And had it not been for the book of Peter, we'd have never known that Lot had a righteous soul. The Bible said that he vexed his righteous soul with the conversation of the wicked. But I want to look tonight, if I could, at this thought, and we'll start here and look at another place. You pray for us on a thought of when separation is necessary. When separation is necessary, why would separation be necessary? Now, separation just in our life is needed. Separation out of the world. Separation from worldly things. You say, what does it really matter about that? One, God told us to, and two, it's liable to drag us in to the world. I don't like the world. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I mean, we go out into it. We got to be in it. But friend, I don't like the things of it. It's just a mess tonight. And you know, the Bible said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, hey, don't be conformed to this world, don't be like this world, but be transformed out of it. We ought to be different tonight, or to be separated. So we don't need to be in sin, nor do we need to be in this world. But when I looked at this, I began to think about who do we need to be separated from. And I've preached numerous times over the past 20 years, more than 20 years, on who we need to be separated from, but really never out of the book of Genesis 13. And right here, if I could say, when separating is necessary, that first of all, number one, when there is a constant battle. Look right here what was going on between Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen. The Bible said, and there was strife between the herdmen and Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Listen, have you ever just been around somebody that wanted to constantly fight? Some of you may have never been there, but I'm going to tell you tonight, there are some people that every time you get around them, it's going to be a fight. I mean, it's just going to be one thing after another. It's going to be drama. They're going to drive you petty. You're going to go home and wish you'd have never talked to them. And there's just sometimes you got to get away from some folk. Romans chapter 12, ain't it in verse 18? He said, if it be possible as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Most shall know what I'm about to say. For you to live peaceably with some people, you need to stay away from them. They're not going to allow you to live peaceably. Hey, I'm going to tell you, they some lost people tonight that see you coming. Listen, they want to rile you up. They want to agitate you. They want to make you feel bad. They just some wicked people out there sometimes. I've been around some of them. They know I'm a preacher. They want to say some vile things just to get at me. Hey, I don't want to be around them people. It's a battle and a fight all the time. But here's what I'm talking about. Abram and Lot were brothers. Abram and Lot were, I mean, what was it? What does the Bible tell us over here about who he was, about who Lot was? And that to Abraham, he tells him over there, well, I'm trying to find it right here. It talks about him maybe being his nephew. But you find right here that they were brethren. And what happened was their substance got great. Notice it said right here that the land in verse 6 was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. They were butting heads all the time. Let me put it to you another way. If you go over and you look in the book of Acts, let me see if I can find this over here. Go with me to the book of Acts. This is a little different message tonight, by the way, if you ain't figured that out yet. But in the book of Acts, let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. I may not be able to. I thought I had it wrote down. I'm pulling a Jeff Hembry right here and can't find what I need. We'll get there. For sure. Let's see here. Let's see. Where do I need to be? I think I need to be in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Look in verse 35. Acts 15, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, now you got to remember, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Do you know what the name Barnabas means? The son of consolation. These are two good men. That's what I'm coming to. These are two good men. These ain't bad men. These are two brethren. And notice what your Bible says. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now watch verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, I've heard people say, well, you see, you got two mission teams out of that. I'm just going to be honest with you now. I don't think God works in contention. If God wanted two mission teams, he would have chose two mission teams. You understand that tonight. Right now, I ain't saying God can't work in contention. I'm just saying I don't believe he uses that tonight. If he wanted two mission teams, he would have chosen two mission teams. Now, you can believe what you want to. But notice that these two men, that the contention, the Bible said right here in the book of Acts, that the contention got so sharp between them. It got so sharp that they done what? That they departed asunder one from the other. They wasn't going to stay together. It couldn't work. It wasn't going to work no more. They couldn't get along. I mean, they just couldn't deal with it. And so you know what Abraham said back over here in verse 8? And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. He said, let's not fight about this thing. He said, let's not fight no more. We've been fighting. Let's not fight. He said, let there be no strife. And he said, here's what I want to do. He said, I pray thee between me and thee and between thy herdmen and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is it not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. You know what Abraham done? Abram done, he took the high road. He said, look here, Lot. He said, we're just going to have to separate. But he said, you choose. He said, "You, if you want to go left, then I'll go right. If you want to go right, then I'll go left. And whatever you want to do, that's what we'll do. But he said, we can't continue as we are. We're going to have to separate. You know, there comes sometimes you just can't continue as you are. It ain't going to work. It can't work. It won't work. And so you cannot continue. And Abram, he's seen that it wasn't going to work. And friends, sometimes people in your life, you've got to separate yourself from because it just ain't going to work no more. I think some of you all know what I'm talking about. There's some people I don't get around. I've told y'all that story about I was trying to be kind to somebody, and before we got done, it was just bad. It was just bad. And so you know what I've learned to do with people like that? I just don't go around them. They're happier than I am too. And I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be any of those things. But if it's always going to be a battle and a contention, friend, that's going to hurt your relationship with the Lord. I'm just going to tell you tonight. I had a preacher friend of mine. He told me sometime back, some years ago, and he's pastoring now, but before he started pastoring, him and his wife and children, they went to the same church with his mom and stepdad. And I might have told you all this story. And he said we would go eat supper with them or lunch with them every Sunday after church. And he said my kids would ride to Mama and Papa's house. And he said we'd sit down at the dinner table. And he said, man, they were having fried chicken and fried preacher every Sunday. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. If you don't like me, you don't like me. I can't help it. I am who I am. I'm going to preach what I've got out of the book. I believe I'm following God. But I do want you to like me. Don't misunderstand me, but I can't make you. And so he said, you know what we finally had to do? He said, we quit letting our kids go over there with Mama and Papa. And he said, we don't even see them. It got so bitter between them. Things got so hard between them. I don't even know how they're related. I know it's not good with his mom and stepdad. I know that much. Or it wasn't as of about 6 months ago. And there's just some people you can't be around. And so what he told Lot is Abram said, we just got to part ways and we got to go. And you know what God done after Abram and Lot departed ways? The Bible said in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Now maybe God was using this as a timeline to tell us why he done or when he done what he done. But I almost think in one aspect he told us after that Lot was separated from him, not only when he done it, but why he done it. He done it because Lot was gone. God can't use you sometimes because of the people, or He don't use you as much because of the battle and the fight and everything that's in your life that don't belong there. Sometimes there's just some things need to go. I know this is a little hard to take, and sometimes it's people. I'm not telling you don't love them. I'm not telling you won't help them. He helped Lot. He went and got Lot when he needed help. He interceded for him when there was a time for that. But as far as being able to stay together, it wasn't going to happen. It couldn't happen. Couldn't reconcile it together. I'm not saying to start out there. I'm just saying it may end up there before it's over with. The constant battle and the fight. Am I making sense tonight? All right, just making sure. I'm telling you, I sat in my study and I scratched my head and I said, Lord, are you sure? But he departed and went. Now I want you to see something about Lot before I move on. I need to move on to the next point. But notice what Lot done. He took what looked the best. And the Bible said Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that it was well watered everywhere. It looked good. But by the time you get down to verse 13, it said, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And you know, Abram got the land of Canaan over there, right where God wanted him to be. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We have to depart and separate from some folk because it's a constant battle. They keep you stirred up. They keep you in shambles sometimes. But then sometimes you have to depart from people, or you have to separate from people because of sin. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is dealing with sin in the church. He's dealing with fornication. And he told him, he said, you're puffed up. You've not mourned this thing. You've gloried in it. Verse 6, he said, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So a little sin don't matter. A little sin, big sin, it's all the same. Leaveneth the whole lump. It's going to create problems. Verse 9, he said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Hey, listen, we're going to have to deal with that mess in the world. If you're going to go out there, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to shop with them at the Walmart. You're going to pump gas with them at the gas station. That's the way it's going to be. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Now we're talking about a saved person. We're not talking about somebody that's in the world. We're talking about somebody that's called a brother. He said, be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. He's talking about that one that's committing fornication there in the church. So Paul is dealing with brethren again. He's dealing with saved people. Right? I mean, he's talking to the church. And let me say, first of all, we should never be guilty of those things that Paul talked about right here. Right? Amen. Fornication, covetous, idolatry, being a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. We shouldn't be none of those things. Shouldn't be guilty of those things. But he said, if somebody who is guilty of that, he said, then you shouldn't even eat with them. You shouldn't have company with them. Why is that? First of all, the scripture says not to. That's good enough. Amen. Don't matter about nothing else. But let me say this, we are setting an example if we do that. If you go to somebody's house and they're in church, let's say they're in church. You know, I've always told you, if I let somebody join the church that's shacking up together, and I'll use that as an example, and I let that happen knowingly, y'all ought to run them off and me too. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. Listen, that should never happen. But he said, look, he said, if you do that, that's going to create an example. That everything's going to be all right. I remember that young lady had come in here one time and she wanted to sing. And I knew she's a shacking up. I knew she's living with a man. There ain't no way that's going to happen. Right? You said, well, did you hurt her feelings? I'll guarantee you I hurt her feelings. Did I want to hurt her feelings? That was not what I was striving toward. What I was striving toward was the very fact of what he said right here. If you just let it all go, you're just setting an example. Hey, moms and dads, if you let things go in your home, you're just setting an example for your children that it's okay. And you're just setting an example. Others might begin to think it's okay. And you know what will happen eventually? You might think it's okay if you just let it go. So you know what he said right here? He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. But he talks about them in the world, but then he talks about them in the church, those that are saved. He said, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within. He said, you got to make a judgment on that thing. Verse 3, he said, for verily as absent in body, he's telling the church, he said, look, he said, I'm absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already. He said, I've judged this thing already. Why? Because of Scripture. You say, you're judging people. I ain't judging nobody. Scripture's done judged it. I try to be quiet where Scripture's quiet, and I try to be loud enough where the Scripture's loud enough. Amen. I'm not judging nothing. The book has. I mean, he says not to company with them. He says not to eat with them. Well, preacher, what am I supposed to do? I'm glad you asked me. You separate yourself, but then take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Go to, you know, the Bible tells us what to do. You know, if you'll read your Bible, you'll generally find an answer of what you're looking for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look in verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. It gets wearisome in well-doing sometimes. Because you know what you got to do? Sometimes you do have to separate yourself from some people. You do got to be different. That gets wearisome sometimes. Because you know what you end up doing? Sometimes you just end up being by yourself if you ain't careful. I'm going to tell you, if you live by that book, you're not going to be friends with the world. You're not. And it'll even make you different to the brethren. Because not all the brethren live by the book. He said, be not weary in well doing. Now watch verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. He said, you note him. If he's not doing what he needs to do, you note that person. Have no company with that person. But then he said in verse 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Don't count him as an enemy. Well, I'm going to tell you, in Independent Baptist realm, we write people off all the time. Ain't that right, Brother Marvin? Brother Marvin was full-time on the road, 15, 16, 17 years? I mean, they'll write you off, man. I mean, the brethren will write you off in a hurry. Man, I know all about that. They'll write you off just like that, but notice what he said. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Don't keep company with him, but admonish him. What does that word admonish mean? It means to warn or to notify of a fault. It means to reprove with mildness. You correct them, but you do it in love and with compassion. You think about that thing. You say, now if I was in nurse shape and I was messed up on something, how would I want somebody to come and talk to me? Right? I mean, that's how I think. I try to think about that stuff. What would I want somebody, how would I want somebody to treat me in that situation? One, I'd want them to tell me the truth. But two, I'd want them to come to me and be as kind as they could. He said, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That means to caution and advise or to instruct or direct. Now, preacher, what happens if they won't take admonishment? What if they won't listen? Then you can tell them and tell them, but what you do is you pray for them and pray for them. That's all you can do. You cannot make people do right. You can't. Why do you think he said that you supper, you have no company with him, that he may be ashamed? You want people to realize the situation they're in. But you got to tell them sometimes the situation they're in. I know some people know. I understand that. Some people know. They know. They just don't want to do right. They don't. They just don't. They're happy doing what they've not got in the hog pen yet, have they? They're happy where they are. And you know what? You can't help people like that. But boy, God can turn the light on. And you just keep on living right in front of them. You just keep on doing right in front of them. You keep on being friendly to them. I didn't say you had to be friends with them. I said be friendly to them. Be friendly to them. You talk good to them. Don't be an enemy to them. Be a brother to them. Be a sister to them. Do as good as you can to recover them out of where they're at. But it takes separation because, see, if they know you're going to church and you're saved and you're just going right along with them, that's not much of a witness. Well, they must not think there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe there ain't nothing wrong with it. You see, sometimes there's a time for separation so that it'll help them. But sometimes there's a time of separation so that it'll help you. That's what it takes. Let's bow our heads tonight.